We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's the wrong music, City Limits. It's supposed to be Bob's Showdown. But I forgive you, and so does Bob.
We won't delay anymore, however, and we'll get right into this.
Bob, 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 Bob. He corrects his mistakes in a hurry, doesn't he, Bob?
You put him on the spot, he answers immediately, and this is a Monday showdown. This time it's going to be between Joe and City Limits here. And I'm going to begin with something we haven't talked about yet, and we're getting close to the start of Steeler camp out in Latrobe, as well as games, and then all of a sudden the whole season will be here. It'll be crazy. So I want to start with this. The Steelers' offseason has been complete, although there could be more moves made when they get to training camp at St. Vincent College. Their biggest position of strength is what, Joe? Biggest position of strength?
Edge rusher. They have two studs, I think. Although Highsmith's coming off, I don't think he had a great year. T.J. Watt might be the best defensive player in football, probably is, and I think Highsmith is a good player. That's their best position, and maybe linebacker overall. If you want to throw Patrick Queen in there, I thought Alandon Roberts did heroic work last year. Hopefully Cole Holcomb will come back. That's a position of great strength. That's my opinion.
Austin?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I'm with Joe. And I got to admit that I wasn't paying as much attention as I should and was looking at ESPN's new College Football 25 that was put out there.
Oh, I want to play that.
I know. That's why I got sucked in.
Cornelius, the photographer, said he's getting a console at his house.
Bob, what was the question again? As I'm
biggest
very
position
sorry to
of strength.
This is incredible, Bob.
I agree.
This is a sports legend over here, and you weren't paying attention.
No, I got sucked into the sports College Football 25. I'm sorry.
Thoughts, Bob?
Biggest position of strength.
Very unprofessional.
See, mine is going to be different than yours, although I do agree with what you said. I say running back. You know, I think to have two, as long as they're healthy.
Yeah, it's a definitely
given,
a strength. Given
what Arthur Smith wants to do, you got to have those two. And I think those are two that complement each other well. And regardless of, you know, Najee Harris being in his final year, potentially, that's a good 1-2 punch.
I'm going out on a limb and saying the offensive line. I really like the line this year. And I know it's a bunch of young players who are still trying to prove themselves. But with Broderick Jones, I really like Zach Frazier. And then Faltanu on the right side of the line, I think they're going to have one of the top lines in football as they continue to gel and develop as we reach the halfway point of the season.
Very interesting.
Biggest position of need, Joe Starkey.
Defensive line. You have a guy who's overpaid and underproductive in Ogunjobi. Bad contract. You have a potential star, I think, in Benton. You have a huge question mark in Cam, as much as we love him. And then who you got, Bob?
Well, you have guys that you hope, you know.
Exactly.
You got to hope that they just finally get it. And they, you know, Leal is a guy who I have high expectations for. I did last year, and he didn't deliver there. And there are others. But, yeah, I think that's true. What about you?
Corner and wide receiver. I mean, it's
well, you kinda, get to pick one.
You only get to
I'm
pick
gonna
one.
Go, I'm going
to
go with corner then. Because Cam Sutton suspended for half the season. Joey Porter Jr. is great. But after that, I mean, Darius Rush, do we know what we're getting in Corey Trice? I like him, but coming off an injury last year, corner is still a huge concern right now for me.
Yeah, I agree. and I would say wide receiver since you took that, because I think they need a lot more. And you never know. Sometimes the answers are there. You know, Van Jefferson's a guy who's can do it if he gets more opportunity. I thought one of the interesting things about this offseason is how many former Falcons under Arthur Smith made their way to this roster.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, too.
Including Cordarrelle Patterson. You think he'll have a bigger role than expected? That's what Paul thought last week.
Yeah, given the fact that they've changed the rules, how could you not think that? He's one of the best ever to do it. And because there will be returns, and you can strategize for that, I think he will have a big role. All right. I want to talk about biggest challenger in the AFC North. There are a lot of people who believe that Cleveland's going to be a lot better than people give them credit for. I'm not one of them. But who would be the team that you would look to right now and say, this is the team you must deal with in the AFC North?
If you're the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Bengals. If, and this is a all caps, bold face, if Joe Burrow's healthy. That injury is very curious to me. And they're still talking about, yeah, he'll be 100% for opening day. Wait, he's not yet? You know? But if he's healthy, and I see where T. Higgins is going to play on the franchise tag, and they still have Chase, and that's all I need to know. You have a great quarterback and healthy receivers. They're the team to beat for me, but that Burrow's situation is very curious.
I think it's easily Cincinnati because the Steelers have so much success in beating Baltimore, whether it be at home, on the road. I mean, what, 5 of their last 6 over the Ravens, I think it is? Maybe 4 out of the last 6? They've beaten Baltimore. I don't know. Joe Burrow is the second-best quarterback in the NFL for my money, especially when he's healthy, obviously. And this might be the last run for them with Ja'Marr Chase, with T. Higgins. Well, Chase, I guess, has another year. But Higgins, free agent at the end of the year. Hendrickson doesn't seem very happy and wants a new contract and wants out. So Cincinnati has a lot of pressure on them to try to strike this year, and I think they're going to rise to the occasion.
Yeah,
the last run, he says.
But what I'll say about the Ravens is, yes, they've had a lot of success with them, but at the same time, the Ravens still have a very, very good roster I looked at, and they're going to play the same way that they always do, which makes it maybe advantage Pittsburgh, because then it becomes, you know, a strength on strength. Both teams very physical, both want to possess the ball. I think a lot of this is predicated on their quarterback. How much will they get out of Russell Wilson? Or, for that matter, Justin Fields, if he ever gets in there. So that's the one real battle, even though it doesn't seem like it's a battle right now, that it's going to be Russell Wilson. But if he struggles or something happens, they may have to go in a different direction there. So I think that's going to be key for this. But I think the Ravens are still their number one issue. I do respect what Joe Burrow has done and what the Bengals have. But, obviously, It's a lot of teams in that division you're going to have to deal with, not to mention some of these other teams you're going to have to deal with. All right, I got to go to the Open Championship. We haven't done this, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a big event. You're going to be hitting golf balls Thursday at Top Golf while this is going on. I'm going to give you a question here. Would you – Scottie Scheffler's still the number one guy in the world. I'll give you a choice. You take him or any of the other top 10 ranked golfers in the world. Who do you pick?
For that tournament?
For that tournament.
Any of the other top 10.
Okay.
Scottie Scheffler or the field, then, among the top 10.
Not the field, the top 10.
Yeah, the field among the top 10.
Among the top 10. You're going to take it?
Absolutely, the field
I'm
there,
not.
Bob.
What about you?
I take the field. I mean, Scheffler has done this so incredible over the last year and a half.
Some would
He's
say.
Been incredulent, indeed, Folsy. But I just imagine that somebody out of that top 10, there's too many very good golfers to be able to not have to take the field.
And some of those guys in the field are playing better than he is right now. Ludvig Åberg is one of the best players in the game. He has more rounds of 64 or less than anyone over the last calendar year. Nobody really talks about him.
He sucks, Bob.
Okay, thank you very much, Joe.
I don't even know. No, no, he's pretty good, actually.
He's very good, and there are a lot of guys like it. By the way, on a side note, Neil Shipley played in an event yesterday down in Kentucky, and he came 2 shots away from being in a playoff, shot 20 under par. He's been just really doing a very good job in his first 6 outings as a PGA, or how many it's been, on the PGA Tour. And I just wanted to bring that up because we haven't really talked about it too much, and I think that's very interesting to see a kid from this area do that the way he's done it. And no stage is too big to him based on being Masters, amateur, low amateur, and then the U.S. Open as well. All right, Penguins, they're going to be going into this. They have their, you know, camp's going to be here before you know it. Are you bullish, Joe Starkey, on the Penguins getting back to the playoffs or not, based on their roster as it is right now or anything they may do to it? Right now, the odds are that they're not going to get in the playoffs. Would it be three straight years of not making the playoffs if you analyze them right now?
I'm more bullish on the Penguins than most, Bob. If they had even a bad power play last year, I think they would have been in the playoffs and maybe caused some trouble. So call me crazy, but I actually look at this Penguins roster and say a lot of teams would like to start their defense with Letang and Carlson and Pettersson, don't you think? A lot of teams might like to start up front with a top line of Russ, Crosby, and Drew O'Connor, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And if Tristan Jarry plays to his pedigree, which has him already with two All-Star appearances, and don't get me wrong, I'm not a huge fan of Jarry, but we also can't pretend that he's not talented. I actually think it's a roster that's still built to win and could make the playoffs and will make the playoffs. And if it doesn't, then shame on them, because if I boiled it down to one specific area that's going to make or break them, it would be the same as last year, and that's the power play.
What's the saying go? Fool me one time, shame on you, but fool me twice, can't put the blame on you. I'm not going to get fooled again with this
team. I don't think that's actually the saying limits, but please proceed.
That's like a J. Cole lyric in a song.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But it has like the same point of view.
Remember Ian Cole, Bob?
He was good. Yes. Stanley Cup champion.
How about Darnell Cole at third for
Darnell
the Pirates?
Darnell Cole, yeah. He had a couple of tape measure home runs.
How about Eric Cole for the Hurricanes?
Yeah, I remember.
What about Garrett Cole?
And of course, Garrett Cole. Go ahead, limits.
I just think that they're done. You know, it's unfortunate to say, but last year I thought that they could get back to the playoffs. They were going to get back to the playoffs. And the disappointment just continues to be there, and I don't see themselves picking themselves back up off the ground anymore.
I do. I think this is going to be a year in which they will get into the playoffs and maybe easier than people think. I agree with Joe. I think there are too many very prideful people on this team, and I don't think they're going to go down without a fight. I think they're going to figure out their power play situation, and that was the number one culprit of why they didn't get in. They were knocking on the door again and didn't get in because of it. I think that'll change. I think year two will treat Erik Karlsson better. I think year two will treat Graves better. I think he's a better player than what he showed. And I don't know the reasons exactly why it turned out this way. I think they have depth at defense, and I believe they're going to get into the playoffs and potentially be a factor.
I think
I'm
going to
go optimistic on that one.
So am I. I think Raquel's going to be better. I think he was hurt almost all of last season. And I think they have a number of role players here who should be decent together. When you add up Lars Eller, Kevin Hayes, Achari, I don't know if O'Connor's going to be down with those guys or up on the top two. Beauvillier, who has four seasons of at least 18 goals, he's only 27. Pustinen may factor in somewhere. And then you should still have the top-end talent. And you signed a veteran backup goalie. That tells me, you know, for all the talk of you know, this soft rebuild, they're suddenly no, they're not. And why didn't they make more big moves this offseason? Because he made all his big moves last offseason for multiple years.
Yeah, he got
Kyle Dubas went crazy last offseason. Spent tens of millions of dollars on people for multiple years ahead. He hasn't undone any of that except for Riley Smith, who apparently just didn't fit here. So this is still the roster that's supposed to win. The Guentzel move was obviously the most significant. We're building toward the future or looking toward the future. But even that, you're going to have to make a decision on a guy. Are you going to pay somebody going into their 30s that kind of money? Even if you're a team that's really trying to win, you got to make that. That might not be an easy decision. And they also, by the way, brought back a real NHL player who's the kind of player they need in Bunting.
I really like Michael Bunting, too. And if they can get somebody else like that to come in here or have a young person, and I do think you're going to see more younger players make their way up here and somehow forge their way into the roster. It has to be probably bottom three or bottom six, I mean, but, you know, I think there's potential there. We'll see how it goes. It's going to be interesting. One final thing, and this goes back to where we started all day today, back at 10 o'clock, and that is, I'm going to ask you what kind of trade the Pirates, I'm assuming they're going to make a move. So, Joe, what will it be? Minor move, a bat. It will be minor move, bullpen, or it would be major move, bat. Which of those three options would you pick?
Minor move, would I pick I think they'll do?
Yeah.
Or I would do?
Well, I know what you would do. I've already heard that. What would they do?
Minor move for a bat.
They're going to make a minor. It's going to be a minor move for a bat.
That's such a downer tone to try a minor move for a bat.
Minor move.
Well, I don't feel like Taylor War is a minor move. It's not a major move. It's kind of an in-between, in-the-middle move. It's a good move, but it's not one that'll knock your socks off. But it's also not one that says, oh, we just acquired Hoy Park or something like that, where you're not excited at all.
Yeah, because Hoy Park's numbers were better than this guy. come on.
No, they were not.
Look at his numbers right now.
Look at Hoy Park's
in
numbers.
June and July.
Hoy Park was bad. He was good in AAA. Ward's doing it in the majors.
He's hitting .228 with a .312 on base, a .713 OPS. He does have 14 homers.
Yeah, he's been slumping as of late.
I don't know, man.
He needs to change the scenery.
Doesn't excite me. Maybe it does you, though, and I don't blame you for that. 2 years ago, he was very good.
Oh, anything better than Michael A. Taylor batting in this order would excite me.
Well, doesn't Sawinski play most of the time over him now anyway?
Yeah, pretty much.
So you're talking about replacing Sawinski, whose OPS is higher than this guy this month.
Well, Sawinski / Palacios, and I like Palacios.
Yeah, I do like him. But I would like a big-time bat.
Yeah, I would too. Whether or not it happens, do you think they're engaging in these conversations now, city limits, or do you think they're going to wait until this week is out? They have two very important series right off the bat, both at home.
I'm sure that they were having conversations, but with the draft being yesterday, the first couple rounds, and today, and the All-Star break, their talks are probably going to resume by Thursday, Friday, once we really get into the thick of games picking back up. So, I mean, it's kind of that dead time where everybody's focused on the draft and no trades are being discussed. We won't see any trades today like we didn't see them yesterday or the next couple of days, especially with the All-Star break. But in the next week, we should, especially because we're 15 days away from the deadline.
Thank you, Bob. That was marvelous.
Yeah, on a day when there's not much going on, to be honest, right?
I mean, there's always something, but yeah, there's no game tonight, but there is a home run derby tonight. Let's talk a little bit about not only that, I want to ask you guys about a prominent ex-Steeler, ex-NFL player who passed away coming up next. And also, if Skeens faces Judge, and he will, so I should say when Skeens faces Judge.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bob, I was saddened to hear of the passing of Jacoby Jones, only 40 years old. A guy who was on the Steelers for a very, very brief time. How many games? Four games. And it didn't go well here, but he was a great player. He was a first-team All-Pro AP in 2012. He had two touchdowns in the Super Bowl. One receiving, one on a kick return. He's one of the great kick returners I've ever seen. Probably one of the few players. There's not many players in the history of the league who have a punt return, a kick return, and a receiving touchdown in their careers, right?
No, he was dynamic. And, of course, when you think of him, you think of that one play where Mike Tomlin moved onto the field and kind of denied him his path to the end zone a little bit. But
the Ravens don't win the Super Bowl that year, I don't think, without Jacoby Jones.
Did they say what happened to him? I mean, he's only 40 years old, and I guess he died in his sleep.
I guess. Well, the statement was that he died peacefully around his family. So I guess I got the impression that he was sick, but I haven't seen a cause. Have you?
No.
Limits?
No, I have not. This just seems really surprising.
Yeah, when you see an elite athlete at age 40 go away, that's just, there's something going on there. Whether it's a, you know, maybe they didn't make public something he was dealing with, but it's sad. It's sad, and it makes you realize that, like I'm talking about, everything that goes on.
And of course, he made one of the most dramatic touchdown catches in the history of football as well. And I was watching it with my nephew, I might add, who is from Baltimore. He was in Pittsburgh watching the 70-yard bomb from Flacco to Jacoby Jones in Denver, where they beat Peyton Manning. Remember? That's the one that tied the score. They were down 35-28, and it was all but over. 31 seconds left. They're on their own 30-yard line. And Flacco airs one out, and Jacoby Jones runs under it. He also had a great quote. When I ran in the end zone, it was quiet. You heard rat piss on cotton, he said, Bob. That's what he said on the 10-year anniversary.
That's an interesting, yeah.
And that was an incredible, incredible play. Had a 108-yard kickoff return to open the second half of the Ravens' win against the 49ers. And was part of the famous, as you mentioned, Tomlin play. So a notable NFL career, and RIP to Jacoby Jones.
Yeah, just sad stories when you hear about them. It's hard to put it into play that 40 years old, a guy like that, you'd think he'd live based on, you know, all the work those guys put into their bodies, and you would think it's all good, that you'd pass any tests, and it must have been something. And I'm sure we'll find out in time.
Meantime, Crowley asked a question today. Wait, there was something else I wanted to get to. Now I can't remember what it was. Limits before the break. I can't remember. It slipped my entire mind, and I apologize for that. Bob, he's really off his game, isn't he, Bob?
No, he's been
today
on the game for
he's
the most part.
He's dehydrated today.
This is the most off my game I think I've ever been.
Yeah, I would agree. And like, it's the pizza or the dehydration, or did one lead to the other?
I think both.
Yeah?
I think that I could start to tell that the pizza was bothering me, so then I did not drink any water, which has literally no good correlation to that.
During your wiffle ball game, you mean, right?
Yeah, I had a bottle of water during wiffle ball. It wasn't that cold of a bottle of water, but I was also outside most of the day already before that.
Yeah.
So I was outside for probably about 7-8 hours yesterday, maybe probably more than that, in the heat, just not drinking any water. I need to take better care of myself. There's just no denying that.
Do you agree with that, Bob?
Yes. And it's never too early to start that, you know. Sometimes when you're young like you, you think everything's fine, invincible, you're backbound, you can get back, rebound, blah, blah, blah. And then you get a little older and you realize it's not so easy anymore. So what you do now is paving the way for what you feel like later.
Oh, I know what I wanted to ask. The home run derby. And either you give a crap, I sure don't.
I like the home run derby.
You do?
Yes.
I think it's unbelievably boring. It never ends. There's too many pitches.
Well, that's the thing. I like it a lot, but they change the rules every single year. And what, do they add more time this year?
I don't know what they've done. I'm not paying attention.
It's too much. And it's all because people want to see the ball just flying out of the ballpark. And that's why they got rid of the outs system, where it was 10 outs and made it timed, because you have more home runs in a time system than an out system.
I don't care.
And it's more offense.
And none of these guys are like legend. Alonso's got that in him, like a legendary type of slugger. You know what I mean? Like, man, I'm going to tune in to watch this guy hit balls out of a stadium.
Well, who on Alec the roster Bame, do you have?
Adolis Garcia. Gunnar Henderson's a great player.
Gunnar Henderson is a good player.
But I mean, you know, Marcell Ozuna.
Ozuna's had a good year. I didn't expect him to have
Bobby
as many home
runs. I know. I don't Ozuna's tune in here to watch these guys hit home runs.
I do agree with Austin here. I think the bottom line is they put too much into it. It should be shorter. You got to go through all these rounds, and then, you know, these guys are getting worn out at the end for swinging so much.
Yeah, I'm not
watching. But I still like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's fun. They changed something with the money balls as well, and I think
I disagree with both of you. It sucks. Oh, I know what I wanted to ask. Skeens, when he faces Aaron Judge, do you go after him the way you did Ohtani? 3 straight 100-plus fastballs and blow him away? Do you have to get the splinker in there because it's your signature pitch, or just because it's the best pitch to use? Do you start him with a splinker? How do you approach this, Bob?
Well, I think people are there to see smoke. You know, they are in Texas, by the way, and it's a bunch of heat that they get down there during the summer. I want to see heat. But, you know, it depends. If he's only going to pitch one inning, it's hard to use every one of his pitches. I'd want to see smoke, and I want to see it strength on strength and see what happens. Although his strength could be that splinker pitch and where he locates it, so it may not even be that. But if he goes from 101 to 84, that's very effective, especially if it's in the right spot. So I assume he's going to pitch one inning, and if that's the case, I want to see smoke.
I want to see splinker.
I want to see splinker.
One.
I mean, it's one of the best weapons in all of baseball.
Yeah.
I want to see it. The fastball.
I want to see him throw two fastballs and then strike him out on a splinker. I'm not going outside the zone at all. It would be legendary if he did that.
He will not throw one curveball. There's just no chance he does. Maybe a slider or two. It's going to be a lot of fastballs, splinkers, maybe a couple sliders. And I expect him to just blow the ball right past Judge. I think he's going to strike him out.
Yeah, I think normally in that situation, hitters take a while to get moved, especially if you haven't seen a guy. You haven't measured him. You don't know. You know what he has, but until you see it, feel it, and go after it, you won't know. And then maybe if he was around for a second or a third time through the order, which won't happen here, that's when hitters make adjustments.
Well, we saw it with Ohtani. I was at that Ohtani game.
3 games, boom, boom, boom.
Oh, was that
three
great
pitches
stuff.
Gone. The next time Ohtani comes up, he slams one into the bullpen, probably about 20 feet away from where I was sitting.
Baseball got it right here. They got it right with Skeens starting the game. I didn't think they had it in him, Bob, but they do.
Well, I thought it became clearer, you know, based on the last outing, which was another no-hitter into the eighth inning. I think that put it in perspective for Torey Lovello. He knew what he was dealing with there. And if he didn't start, he would have pitched somewhere in there, but that's the announcement you want. And the way he got it, I thought was very interesting too. It reminded me of Bill Cowher when he got it at CBS NFL Today, when David Baker shows up live television and he knows why he's there. It's emotional. And I thought that was a good one. Although Skeens is not an emotional person, you can tell. So he wasn't going to break down or anything, but I think the surprise element had to put a smile on his face.
For sure. Another story that popped up, and this isn't the pleasant kind, is Jordan Addison arrested Friday near L.A. International Airport on suspicion of DUI. According to the police report, asleep behind the wheel. I don't understand how these guys get in that situation. I guess if somebody actually has a real problem, than anything.
But if you do, then, you should, then nothing's around off the you table. Should know it, right? I mean, yeah. You should always have some,
of course,
some form of designated driver. My goodness, it's been pounded into all of our heads. You see the results. They can be devastating.
He was cited in July of 23 for driving 140 miles an hour on a freeway in Minnesota. What are you doing? And this arrest came 5 days after their rookie corner, Kyrie Jackson, was killed, along with a couple of others in an accident in Maryland, and they don't know yet or haven't released yet whether alcohol was involved in that accident. In December, Vikings offensive coordinator Wes Phillips was stopped on a Minnesota freeway, and he had alcohol in his system. What are we doing here?
Being immature, not listening. It's important to listen, and it's important to understand what you're getting from people older than you, or some wisdom that they've accrued over the years. And when you have that, it should be viewed as an advantage, you know? Just use it to your advantage. It means something. And yet people are, you know, again, I think it's part of the fact that they make so much money. Guys are thinking they're above it all.
Man,
it's a reckless thing to think that way when you think you're
above
it all.
Get a driver. Get a driver is what I would say. Right to Jordan Addison at this point. If I was the Vikings, I would be absolutely livid with this guy. Wouldn't you?
Yes, I would be livid because I've invested a lot in him. And you know, how many times do you think coaches and people in the front office there tell these guys about the responsibilities they have and what it could lead to? You know, how many examples do you need to see?
This is a bad
Remember
one.
Ruggs? When that happened, I thought that would open everyone's eyes.
Yeah.
When you go at that rate of speed, anything can happen.
Coming up, Adam Crowley had a very interesting question. He poses a lot of those. Very smart man this morning. I can't remember who. Oh, he was talking to Zangrilli, and I do remember what the answer was. The Pirates go into the break here at an even 500. Are they playing above or below their roster level? I'll tell you what Zangrilli said, and then we'll all give our answers, and then we'll get back into the Pirates. They're essentially their first half. I know they're technically past the official first half, but this is really the end of the All-Star break is really the line of demarcation here. Let's talk about the Pirates in the first half and where they're headed here. Fan Twitter. Brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. 50-minute mark on the Fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We'll talk about that. We'll maybe make a prediction on the home run derby, since both of these gentlemen are so interested in this. Although, I bet you if we put a secret camera on both of them, neither will be watching tonight. Do you think that's unfair of me, Limits?
I think it's unfair. I will be watching.
Bob, if I had a secret camera on you, you going to be watching the home run derby?
Yeah.
And the other part of that is,
I watch a lot of things. You should.
What else are we
right
going to watch?
Man, Johnson Wagner. He's Nothing challenging tonight. Brian Harmon to a chip shot on a green. And I saw where Harmon put it, so now he switched the mic over, and we'll see what he can do here.
I'm telling you, this guy's the single best, I think, if you want to call him sideline reporter, if you want to call him that, that's what this guy is right now.
Well, he has the cachet of knowing he was a
He's unbelievable.
Former player, and he has all the respect of those guys.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.